Since 1994, more than 17,000 returning vets have found jobs as classroom teachers with the help of a national program called Troops to Teachers. One such troop member turned teacher is here in studio with us. His name is Anthony Clark. He teaches special education at my alma mater, Oak Park River Forest High School. Also, someone in the studio who's currently going through the program, Andrew Klein, student veteran in education at National U.S. Lewis University. And Emily Siefkin, she is the regional program manager for Illinois and Indiana Troops to Teachers. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to
Thanks
be here.
Thanks for having us.
I guess I'll start with you, Emily, first. How does this program work?
Yeah, Troops to Teachers is a federally funded program. We are nationwide. There's a program manager like myself running an individual state or a region. And we exist primarily to reach out to the veteran community or active duty service members and speak with them about what it takes to become a teacher. We speak with them about teacher preparation programs and help them find quality programs. We have a $5,000 stipend to help offset books, fees, and tuition towards achieving that certificate. And we have a bonus if they teach in a high-need school. Mm-hmm. So we have some monetary assistance separate from the GI Bill and other state benefits. And then we work with our service members to do our very best to find them a job.
How did this idea come about?
The program has been around for 20 years. Yeah. And back in the mid-90s, we had a situation where a lot of service members were coming back from the first Gulf War, mm-hmm. and there was downsizing. And there was also a need for men, and particularly minority men, to enter the classroom. And so it seemed like a natural fit for service members who either had to get out of the military or were getting out to consider teaching and filling gaps in the workforce.
How did that outreach work? I mean, I would imagine a lot of military personnel coming out, probably this wasn't in their head.
Sure, absolutely. And that's definitely something we sort of still struggle with today, is how do we reach out to mm-hmm. our folks? But we do our best through a number of, collaborative efforts with state, federal government, nonprofits to get the word out. I use social media to the best of my capacity. But back in the 90s, it was a lot of just hitting the streets and going to transition assistance, to what we call TAPS or ACAP, when service members are getting out of the military, and getting some FaceTime with them.
Anthony Clark, you yes, teach sir. Special education at OPRF.
Yes, sir. I do.
And
go
I understand, in a way, Tagarista. I understand, in a way, you have a captive audience for something that you thought of doing initially professionally, and that is comedy.
Yes. Unfortunately or fortunately, I was a part-time professional stand-up comic while I was active duty military.
Uh-huh.
And when I got out, around Zanies and Jokes and Notes and Touch of the Past, I would go around and do some stand-up. And it's tangible. It carries over to the classroom, so now I'm making kids laugh.
And how did you connect that, the idea of a comedian and thinking, hey, maybe I should take some of this and go into the classroom and become a teacher?
I think what I learned in the military, those leadership norms and values that I carried forward from the military, and then comparing that with being a comedian on stage, having people look at you, and you're actually performing when you're a teacher as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you take that into the classroom. Kids are looking for you to not only, teach them, but you want to engage them and entertain them as well. Because if they're bored, you're going to see a lot of kids sleep. You're going to see a lot of kids on Facebook sneaking those phones in their laps. The classic move. They think you don't see them, but we do. We see you, kids. We see you. So essentially, I just like to, keep them engaged and active, make stuff funny. You can still learn, but enjoy learning as well. Perfect example would be yesterday or the day before, we were learning about nucleic acids. Do you know what nucleic acids are?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, we're talking about DNA here, sir. But DNA, RNA, your genetic code. So, I hope parents don't get mad here, but, I told the kids, it might not be funny to you, but I told the kids, if you look in the mirror in the morning and you're mad at that pimple, you're mad at that big forehead or those thick eyebrows, you know where it comes from. You can track it. You can learn what generation, passed that to you. Maybe Grandma Nana, had a big forehead as well. So you can track that. So, of course, they giggled a little bit. They laughed. And, we learned. We learned.
Talk a little bit about your service and what that was like and what you bring from that experience to teaching.
I have an interesting story. I graduated from Oak Park and River Forest High School. If you don't know, for those listeners out there, Oak Park is a great community. You know, I recommend going to visit, if not moving there. But when I was younger, I was kind of lost, you know, not to get too deep into it, but being a young minority, didn't really know what direction I wanted to go in after high school. You know, I had great parents. They were always there for my support. They instilled a lot of great things in me. But, you know, being young, oftentimes you don't listen. So after high school, I really didn't have a direction, you know, really didn't know what I wanted to do. And for me, that the military provided that, you know, it provided the opportunity to instill those norms and values that my parents did. It reinforced it. It taught me some responsibility, taught me some leadership, and allowed me to find myself as a man. And, you know, after that, you know, being exposed to the Troops to Teachers program, it was just a natural transition, you know, just providing that extra support. Once they make you into what they make you, it's not like they just back off and let you go. You know, they continue to support you, continue to uplift you until you could become personally successful. So,
Andrew Klein, you are currently going through the program. Why did you want to do this?
Well, I'm actually in a different program. It's called AUSL, and it's a Chicago program here for turnaround schools in Chicago. And the reason I wanted to go through the program is it goes back to my core values that I learned while I was an infantryman in the Army. And that's you're doing things for the guy next to you. And it's all about service. Like, you don't join the military to do things for yourself. You join the military to do something bigger than yourself. And I feel education is the same way. Like, I get the opportunity to impact about 150 students a day. And that gives, like, them so much more of an opportunity going forward than if I did something else with my life.
I'm wondering, so you both saw active duty.
Yes, sir.
Where, Anthony, where were you at?
I was stationed at McCord. My main station was at McCord, which is now Fort Lewis McCord in Tacoma, Washington. So I would deploy from there.
And where were you deployed?
I've been to Afghanistan. I've been to Iraq, Turkey. I had some great trips like New Zealand. Shout out to the Kiwis out there and All Blacks. Learned about rugby. So it was great.
How about you, Andrew?
I was stationed in Freiburg, Germany for 4 years and deployed to Iraq from 2006 to 2007.
And so you both saw action. You both were in battle?
I was, yes. I was an infantryman. And we spent most of our time in a town northwest of Baghdad trying to keep the Syrian forces from flooding into like Fallujah and Ramadi and what is now nowadays ISIS.
So I'm wondering for you, Andrew, with those experiences, how do you fit that into or apply to what you want to do eventually, which is become a teacher?
Well, again, it goes back to you're doing it for the person next to you. Like every day you get up and you grind it out for the guy next to you to make sure that they can go home and live their life that they want to. And that's exactly what, you know, teaching is.
Anthony, do any of your students ask you about your experiences in the military?
Oh, no question. Definitely. They're extremely interested just to know my experiences and, you know, what I've been exposed to. And, you know, they're young, you know, oftentimes immature. So, of course, the first question is, you ever seen a dead body? You know, you ever seen anybody killed? But once you address that and you get a little deeper, you kind of go into why I went into the military, what the military taught me, what I've been exposed to. And for me, the Air Force, I was in Air Force active duty. I was a C-17 crew chief. So we were in more of a supportive role, supporting the Army, supporting the Marines, et cetera. So what I just tell kids, for me, how it helped me out, it just eliminated a lot of ignorances. You know, it gave me perspective. You know, how can I oftentimes wake up and complain about anything when I know what's going on in the world? So I'm just happy to wake up. I'm happy to be who I am and, you know, just move forward and take advantage of everything that's available to me, because I oftentimes see so many people that unfortunately aren't able to take advantage of things or, you know, have lost their lives. So we live for them, you know.
That is Anthony Clark. He teaches special education at Oak Park River Forest High School. Also in the studio with us, Andrew Klein. He's a student at the Veteran in Education at National Lewis University. And Emily Siefkin, she is the regional program manager for Illinois and Indiana Troops for Teachers. We're talking about service members who decide to become teachers after they leave the service. Anthony, just to follow up on the question that a student might have, you know, have you seen anybody who's dead, a dead body? I mean, what do you tell them, and how do they respond to that?
I think it's important as a teacher to be honest. You know, for any teachers listening out there, I don't have, you know, the pedagogy. I'm not the end-all, be-all in teaching. But for me, what works is just being genuine, because I feel like students can realize when you're being genuine with them and they appreciate that. So if they do ask, for example, in my English class right now, Read 180, shout out to Ms. Romillo and Mr. Bracey. Hope you guys are listening. But we actually went into, we just left the Ebola unit of our teaching, and now we're into the military unit of our teaching. And they've asked, you know, have you seen a dead body? Have you seen anybody die? And, you know, honestly, I'm honest with them. You know, yes, I have. You know, you just don't leave it at that, though. You have to dig deeper. You have to flesh it out and explain to them, why are we fighting? You know, why are we over there? What are we fighting for? And oftentimes, when you go through different things of this, you're not always going to see positive things. There's going to be negative things, but we have to understand from those negative things, we're reaching for a positive, if that kind of makes sense. So,
Emily, what do you think are the advantages to hiring veterans as teachers and having them in the classroom?
Oh, there are so many. One that always stands out to me is just an unflinching dedication. And that sounds altruistic, but it's true. Every single day I meet people who just want to make a difference. You know, the military collectively has improved our lives, my life as a service member, measurably, and we want to kind of pay that forward. And so there's just this dedication to serve the community at large. And also, in recent years, we have the incredible opportunity with post 9/11 GI Bill, this very generous benefit. And so we're taking, many, many people are taking opportunity of this benefit and getting a world-class education. So there's service members with world-class educations because of this benefit and their own drive. Mm-hmm. And the drive, you know, we will achieve a goal and meet its end, and there's compassion, and we understand diverse communities. I mean, I grew up in Iowa, and I was the only person, you know, there were no persons of color. And mm-hmm. and then I joined the military, and there's this whole diverse universe. And it made me understand, have a macro understanding of the world. So I believe service members really have a macro understanding of the world, and that informs the way we approach everything.
Andrew, do you ever get nervous that, you know, being a teacher, as Anthony can attest to, I'm sure, is not an easy thing. And I'm wondering, even though you have this drive, this dedication, do you ever wonder or get nervous of whether this is something that you're going to eventually be cut out to do? Are there concerns about whether this is something that you actually want to do?
So I'd say for the first 2 months, like, you go back and forth whether you know, you can do this or mm-hmm. whether you can't. But the program that I'm in with AUSL is so supported that they really scaffold you up to where you need to be. And you really start to build confidence from day one. And because of that confidence, now that I've been doing it since the 1st of September, I really feel like after 2 months, you can tell deep down inside of you whether, you know, this is something that I'm going to find confidence in mm-hmm. and be able to be successful, or whether I should start looking for other things. And I really feel the confidence deep down because of I know that I've gone through things like deployments. I've gone through basic training, and I've made it through those physical and mental challenges before. And so it gives me confidence in doing this work.
Have you ever seen any fellow students of yours, Andrew, who have decided not to go forward with it?
No, I have not. So far, everybody in cohort 46 of AUSL is still hanging strong and doing really good work.
Anthony, why special education?
It tied into my background, honestly. My whole story about getting involved with Troops of Teachers, originally, while I was active duty, I received my bachelor's and first master's degree from University of Phoenix in mm-hmm. Criminal Justice. So I originally wanted to go into that realm, but unfortunately, like my fifth year in the service, I woke up and I was blind, like literally could not see. And, you know, through trials and tribulations with the doctors, it was determined that I have what's known as Behçet's disease, an extremely rare condition. It's not contagious, nobody be concerned, but essentially what happens is my immune system attacks my body, and if I don't receive medication at that great VA that I go to in Hines, you know, I will go blind. So that kind of made me reevaluate, you know, what I was doing. So mm-hmm. while I was going through TAPS and, you know, I was being medically discharged, Troops to Teachers just happened to just hit the table. And, you know, it kind of just hit me. It kind of clicked, you know, like everything that I've learned, the person that I am, you know, all my attributes that I have, I could be great and still make a difference in the classroom. So, and having a disability, you know, kind of understanding how that impacted me, special education, knowing that other kids have disabilities and knowing that there's a high also minority population within the special education field, it just seemed like a no-brainer for me, being a minority male.
Emily, what's the reaction, I guess, from teachers who go through, for lack of a better phrase, a more traditional education to become teachers? In other words, you know, teachers who haven't seen, who've not been in active duty, who weren't part of the military. Do you ever hear from them about this program and what it means?
So for civilians who, about troops to teachers, I don't know that they've really heard that much about our program. Mm-hmm. And so when I explain it to them, they're like, yeah, that sounds like a great program. And so it's been positive overall, but we just need to get the word out.
Do a lot of your colleagues at OPRF know that you're a veteran and that this is something that you went through this program?
Yes. I believe the majority of my colleagues know, because it's not something that I hide. You know, I feel like being in the military, as Andrew spoke to earlier, I mean, your feet are kind of like thrown into the fire. You know, you have experiences. So when you go into that classroom, nothing you can really be experienced inside that classroom you're not prepared for. You're prepared for everything, you know, because it is a shock sometimes, you know, your first day teaching. You know, I remember my first day, you know, I watched Lean on Me the night before, you know, Mr. Clark and, you know, Dangerous Minds with Michelle Pfeiffer. I thought I was going to go in and change the world. And literally it happened. I walk in, my kids are walking in, and this is when I taught at alternative school. I'm like, good morning, kids. And they're like, F you. You know, but
welcome,
you know,
to the world,
right? Welcome to the real world. So I had to, you know, go home, take a cold shower, hug myself, and get ready for the next day. And, you know, so I stuck with it, though.
Before I let you go, Andrew is still going through a teaching program. What advice, Anthony, would you have for Andrew?
Just be yourself. You know, oftentimes I feel like teachers, they observe someone else and feel like their practices are going to work in their classroom. But that's not necessarily the case, because, as you know, I'm sure every kid is different. So you just have to be yourself, be genuine, and just don't give a blanket approach to your students. You know, individualize your instruction, scaffold it, differentiate, and just go for it, man. Just do what you do.
And Andrew, very quickly, one thing that makes you nervous about getting into the classroom.
Well, it's always classroom behavior. You can never control what eighth graders are going to do.
Andrew Klein, he is a student at the Veteran in Education at National Lewis University. Anthony Clark teaches special education at Oak Park River Forest High School. He was part of the Troops to Teachers program. Emily Siefkin is a regional program manager for Illinois and Indiana Troops to Teachers. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Us.
Great to be here.